Support for UpToDate is provided by Geisinger, providing world-class care for our community, here, where it matters.
Hello and welcome to UpToDate from WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto, here to keep you up to date with all the local and regional news you should know about. Today, while the federal government gets closer to reopening, Pennsylvania is still without a state budget. That's hurting school districts and charter schools in particular. And WVIA's Boris Krauchenyuk joins me later in the show to break down the results of last week's municipal elections. It's Tuesday, November 11th, a happy Veterans Day to all who've served in our region. Let's get you up to date. We'll start off with the federal government shutdown, which may be coming to an end. Eight Democratic senators broke rank with their party on Sunday night to reach a deal with Republicans to end the shutdown. As Kenny Cooper reports for WVIA, some Philly area House members say that was a bad idea.
The compromise legislation funds the federal government and ensures back pay for furloughed workers. But the Senate deal does not extend the expiring Affordable Care Act tax credits. Democratic Congressman Brendan Boyle represents Philadelphia. He told WHYY Studio 2 that the deal doesn't make sense.
I am not happy about what eight of my Senate Democratic colleagues on the other side of the Capitol have done, and frankly, I don't understand it.
Senate Republicans promised Democrats a December vote on extending the health care subsidies that expire in January, but no guarantees.
That was Kenny Cooper reporting. Meanwhile, here in PA, we've gone more than 130 days without a state budget. Bear Creek Community Charter School could run out of money for payroll or be forced to temporarily close if the state budget impasse reaches into the new year. School districts statewide have depleted fund reserves, secured loans, or canceled activities in month five without a state budget. But charter schools, such as the one in Luzerne County, face another financial obstacle. Charter schools primarily receive their funding from school districts. If a district refuses to pay, which often happens, the state transfers some of that district's state subsidy to the charter school. But the state's subsidies don't exist right now either. Bear Creek CEO Jim Smith says the school has depleted its $3 million fund balance. A $1 million loan will help the school stay open through January.
We hope our state officials get together and demonstrate real leadership, compromise, and get a reasonable budget passed so that, you know, no public school is suffering and no other agencies across the state are suffering either.
Find more of this story from WVIA's Sarah Hofius Hall at WVIA.org. We're looking toward Penn State next because the university wants to be a leader in the field of artificial intelligence. As Ann Danahy reports for WVIA, the university's provost laid out a vision for how that will happen during a meeting with the Penn State Board of Trustees last week.
Fotis Soteropoulos is Penn State's provost. The blueprint he presented includes everything from AI literacy to training the state's workforce.
Many of our students will have to do jobs that have yet to be invented, and we need to be at the cutting edge. This is the nature of exponential change that we are facing right now.
Soteropoulos said every college, campus, and program needs to make sure all graduates are prepared to use AI in their careers. Another initiative is shifting to experiential learning and projects across the university.
In the future, students will be coming to the universities not to deliver these standard lectures from our faculty. Our faculty will have a lot more resources and time to engage in much more meaningful and transformative type of experiences with students.
And Soteropoulos said Penn State can be the institution that helps train Pennsylvania's workforce using its campus's online world campus and extension. In State College, I'm Ann Danahy.
Thanks, Ann. Stay with us. We've got election analysis on the way after this break.
Hi, I'm Julie Sidoni, Director of Journalism at WVIA. We're inviting you to be part of something truly important, strengthening the future of trusted local journalism in our community. Through our Newsmatch campaign, we're working toward a $125,000 goal by December 31st, with special opportunities available throughout the campaign to help your support go even further. Donate now at wvia.org/match, and thank you.
Welcome back. So it's been a week since the 2025 municipal election, and we've had some time to process the results. In the latest edition of News Voices, of course, here's more. I'm Sarah Cinto, and this is News Voices. The 2025 municipal election is done, and there are a lot of results to dig into. So WVIA political reporter Boris Krauchinyuk is here to help. Hi, Boris.
Hello there. Thank you for having me.
Of course. So let's start with our bumper sticker overview, as I'm calling it. What were some of the biggest things that happened on Tuesday?
Well, the big race, the one that may have the most impact regionally, was the Scranton mayor's race. And I know that Scranton's only a small part of our coverage area, but Paige Cognetti won big. And because she won big, she didn't damage her chances of running for Congress next year. She is going to go out and try to take on Rob Bresnahan, the incumbent congressman. And if she had not done well, that could have damaged her chances next year. But she did real well. She received almost three times as many votes as Trish Bynum, the Republican challenger. She got almost 10,000 votes, and that's about the standard for a mayor's race. So beyond that, well, the biggest election in Lackawanna County was the commissioner's race. The saga of replacing Matt McGloin seems to have finally drawing to a close. Tom Welby, who was the Democratic nominee, won that race by almost 12 points over Chet Murley, the Republican nominee. That's closer than a lot of contests between Democrats and Republicans countywide in Lackawanna County. But there was another Democrat in the race who was running as an independent, Michael Cappellini, and I think he took away a lot of that margin from Welby. But the 12-point win means Welby will serve as McGloin's replacement for the next 2 years, assuming that Commissioner Brenda Sacco, who was sworn in last month to replace McGloin, steps aside as expected.
So let's go to Luzerne County now. What happened there? That's one of our local, very large counties.
Oh, that's one of those hallmark races. I personally wasn't that surprised because the Democrats had really strong candidates. If they needed to flip two seats to win, and they basically won four out of the five county council races, and now they have a pretty dominant majority on the county council. And that's significant because Luzerne County flipped to a Republican majority voter registration-wise last year during the presidential race, and everybody was, you know, for years that county's been trending Republican. For the Democrats to take back the county council, that's a significant thing. Now, how long that lasts, how they govern, you know, we'll see.
Now, the theme this week has been Democrats won pretty big. We had judges retained in a very expensive election. But is that true across our entire coverage area? Maybe not.
Well, in most places, Republicans won their seats. There were a lot of places where there just were no contested county races or even local races. A Democrat who won a judgeship in Columbia County and beat the incumbent who was there, that was unusual. And but there were not a lot of, so the thing that happened in the large parts of our coverage area that are more rural and more Republican is that the yes votes for the state appeals court, and particularly the state Supreme Court, they won in those counties. The yeses won to retain those justices, which was significant because the Republicans were really hot to beat those guys, and they didn't. But except for one, Judge Nancy Butts in Lycoming County was voted out of office by a pretty significant margin. And it had something to do with her rulings as a judge. The Republican Party recommended a no vote, and the no vote won. So next year, they're going to have an election for judge in the upcoming couple of years.
So looking ahead, how will Tuesday's results change things around the region?
Politics is changing much faster these days than it used to. So what happens next year is really going to depend on economic factors and what the economy is like next year. we could tell this year that people aren't happy with the way the economy is, and that's why they Republicans really didn't have a good day. Long-term trend, I'm cautious about this. If Democrats are ecstatic about the way things turned out, but I wouldn't get too happy just yet.
All right, Boris. Well, thank you very much, and we'll look to your coverage as things unfold.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, one last thing for you today. We've got another Pennsylvania postcard from WVIA Director of Journalism, Julie Sidoni.
Maybe you've heard the nursery rhyme about the old woman who lives in a shoe. A quick trip to York and you can test it out for yourself. The Haynes Shoe House is an iconic home built in York in 1949 by a man known as the Shoe Wizard. His name was Mollen Haynes, and he wanted both a guest house and a way to advertise his shoe store. He got it. The home is shaped a bit like a boot, with a living room in the toe, a kitchen in the heel, and two bedrooms in the ankle. The shoe house has quite the history. Owners over the years have used it as a museum and an ice cream shop. More recently, it was up for rental on an online booking website. It's also been featured on the CBS show The Amazing Race and on HGTV. You can book a stay or just stop by for a photo. The Haynes Shoe House is now a celebrated, quirky local landmark. I'm Julie Sidoni. This is a Pennsylvania postcard from WVIA News.
All right, I hope you're feeling up to date. Find more stories like these at WVIA.org. I'm Sarah Cinto. So glad you could hang out for a bit today. If you want to keep up with me and the rest of the team, make sure you subscribe and listen every weekday wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy this snowy Tuesday, everyone. I'll catch you tomorrow, right here on Up to Date.